شكرا يا ربي شكرا.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. You are tuned in to Marcus Sahaba Online. Part 2 it is of the bliss of marriage today. Part 2 of part 2, Alhamdulillah, as we're having a special extended program. So, subhanAllah, any questions you have, you can continue to send us your messages on 084-786-3132, 084-786-3132. Yes, an extended special edition of the Bliss of Marriage program. Inshallah, I'll be your host right up until 1 p.m. Central African time. But more importantly, answering the questions is our honorable and esteemed Mufti A.K. Hussein. We welcome Mufti Saab with the question. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Can my wife go on the pill? We just cannot afford any more children.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakallah khairan to you, brother Yusuf Ali. Before I forget, let me make 2-3 announcements. First announcement, today is the 29th of Shawwal. Hence, all of us should try and scan the sky tonight and look for the new moon and crescent. And inshallah, if the new moon crescent is sighted, it is more than 20 hours here in Gauteng and in Cape Town. So inshallah, the possibility is quite good. Then we should read the following dua. Allahu Akbar, Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin. O Almighty Allah, Jalla wa Ala, make this new moon and crescent a month of khair and goodness, wa Rushdin and righteousness, as mentioned, mashallah, in Abu Dawood. Likewise, tonight between 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock, inshallah, we will have Dr. Yusuf Wahid, and his special guest today will be Dr. A.K. Peer, and he's a specialist microbiologist, and they'll be discussing all this medication people take, antibiotics and so forth. Is it good? Is it bad? Whatever. So Dr. A.K. Peer, the special guest of Dr. Yusuf Wahid tonight, Wednesday night on Marcus Sahaba, between 8 and 9, inshallah. So you should try and listen to that program, and inshallah, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will let us benefit. Oh, the question was regarding the pearl and so forth. So remember, in Islam, we should not be using this type of medication. And I mentioned it just now, that was Maulana Arafat. Remember, Quran Kareem already answers this question, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ خَشْيَةَ إِمْلَاقٍ, that you should not be killing your children with the fear of poverty and want. Because نَحْنُ نَرْزُكُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ, we feed them, we sustain, nourish them and you. So remember, this is the Western way of thinking, that no, we must only have one child or two children, and if we have 4 or 5 children, then we will not be able to afford them and so forth. And you ask 90%, 80% of the women who have taken the pill and they have taken this contraceptives and what have you, so family planning, you must remember, it is most cases destructive to their health, and it causes so many problems to their natural cycle, their haiz and menses and other issues. So always they will be after. It is something unnatural. So the natural system which Almighty Allah Jalla Wala created us, that is always the best system.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that comes through. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. Can a boy and girl do court marriage if they want to marry then later do nikah with family consent?
Remember, you are reading witr namaz before isha namaz. What you must do first is perform the nikah. And thereafter, if you want to register, then you register your marriage, ANC, nothing to do with a political party, anti-nuptial contract, without excluding the accrual system. That is what you must do. If you think that you are going to go and get court marriage and have a civil marriage, and your father, the girl's father, family, nobody knows about it, and then you can go on with your hanky-panky business, and thereafter you'll get nikah, so all that is haram and not permissible, that marriage Islamically is null and void, because remember, the girl's father has not given consent, and you want to fool the public and tell them that no, that our nikah will take place after 3 months, 2 months, but you go 1 month, 6 months before that and get court marriage, not permissible that. And the motive also is totally incorrect and un-Islamic and not acceptable and not permissible in Islam.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that comes through. Salaamu Alaikum, Mufti Saab. Is it true that our sustenance and independence is increased when we get married? I'm currently not eligible for marriage based on financial grounds.
Yes, Almighty Allah has mentioned that in the Noble Quran. Read Surah Nur, Surah 24. Therefore, our mother Siddiqatu bintu Siddiq, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she used to encourage the men to teach the women, Allimu nisa'akum Surah An-Nur, teach your females, your women folks, Surah Nur, chapter number 24. And in chapter 24, you will find the verse where Almighty Allah Jalla wala states, Iyakunu fuqara, yughnimu Allah min fadli, that if you are poor, then Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala will enrich you. So remember, we should not be looking for excuses. Rather, we should get our sons, our daughters married. And that is what Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala is teaching us. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu, and the verse is in Surah 24, Surah Nur, and verse number 32. So there you will find the verse also, Surah 24, verse 32. And second one, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala used to say, that remember, iltamisul ghina fin nikah. You will find this in the Sunan of Sa'id bin Mansur. So that look and search for richness and wealth in nikah. And Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should mention that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam famous hadith, innamal a'malu bin niyat. What is your intention? You want to lead a pure life, a chaste life. So what do you think? That if our intentions are good, definitely. So that is the result we will see with the benevolence, mercy and grace of Almighty Allah. So first, Quran Sharif. Second, the Ahadith Mubarakah. Third, the Fatawa and verdict of Sahaba. So therefore, the problem with us is that we want to have a grand nikah. So the marriage alone will cost 100,000, 1 million, 2 million. Then we want to have a grand honeymoon. Then we want everything. If we just start everything simple, then see how the benevolence, the mercy of Almighty Allah will come. So that is what we need to do. Inna a'adhaman nikahi barakah aysaruhu ma'una. Open Mishkat Sharif. The best nikah as far as barakah blessing goes is where there's minimum expenditure. But who's prepared to listen? What will the people say? Maru korochuna. In Memon they say like that. That what will the people say? That we cut our nose. So when we want to impress people, then we get disgraced by people. So you must do for the pleasure of Allah. Watu izzu man tasha, watu zillu man tasha. Then see the izzat Allah Ta'ala gives. And when we violate the laws of Allah, then is zillat and disgraced.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that comes through. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. I am a girl of 19 years and I have made nikah without my wali. I was present at the time of the nikah. Recently, I've read on the internet that the marriage of a woman without her wali is invalid. Is my nikah invalid? What should I do?
Remember, sister, first and foremost, again, I go through all three ways. Number one, Quran Kareem teaches us Surah 59, verse number 7. Make notes of this, sister. Surah chapter 59, verse 7. It is in the 28th Supara, 28 Jews. وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوا وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ أَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. So whatever Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought and commanded us, so you accept it. And whatever Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited, so you abstain from that. So that is what the Quran is teaching us. Now in the hadith in Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud, Sunan Nasai, Ibn Majah, various compilations you will find, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, La nikaha illa biwaliyin. There is no nikah that is valid except the wali must give consent. Wali is your biological father, your biological dada, your father's father, paternal grandfather. So they are the type of people must give permission, your brother. Brother means 20, 25, not 1 5-year-old lighty or 10-year-old lighty and so forth. So youngsters know. So it must be a person who has got sane, mature and so forth. So that's the issues that we have to understand. Then when we come to the madaib, so first we go to our Sahabiya. Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha used to say, أَيُّمَ مَرَاتٍ نَكَهَدْ نَفْسَهَا بِغَيْرِ إِذْنِ وَلِيِّهَا فَنِكَاهُهَا بَاطِلٌ. That any woman gets married without the consent of her father, then remember that nikah is batil, is null and void. Now we come to the schools, the four schools, the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, they will say that nikah is null and void. When we go to the Hanafi school, so this might help you out, sister. It's good you are asking this question. So Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah, who was the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, wrote a beautiful fatwa on this topic. In page 551 of Imdadul Muftin, you will find it there. So Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Nawarallah Marqadahu writes, agar aurat aqila baligha ho, aur Hanafi madhab ke muqtadi ho, meaning you are following the Hanafi madhab and so forth, then this is the fatwa. If she got married without the consent of her biological father, then we will see. If she married in ghair kuf, she married someone not compatible, not suitable to her, that she brought shame and disgrace to the family, then the fatwa of the Hanafis also is the nikah is null and void and they must separate immediately. And if she got married, she's sane, she's mature, she's following the Hanafi school of jurisprudence, and she married somebody without the consent of a biological father, but she married in kuf, someone suitable, compatible, there's no real disgrace, shame to the family, then that nikah will be valid, although it is discouraged. But the nikah will be valid. So maybe that can help you out, sister. That you are following the Hanafi school, you got married, and now Allah alone knows what the circumstances were. Maybe you even got children and so forth. So if it is someone compatible, suitable, now your parents have accepted it and so forth, then it's fine, especially according to the Hanafi school.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that comes through, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. What does Mehr e Fatimi mean?
MashaAllah, remember that Mehr e Fatimi means out of respect and honor for Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala spoke of Azwaj-e Mutahharat, the honorable wives and spouses of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Nisa An-Nabi, lastunna ka ahadim minan nisa. O you, the honorable wives and spouses of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are not like other women. You are the best of the best. The Ahlul Bayt, that is the honorable wives of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the honorable sons, daughters, grandchildren, all are part of the Ahlul Bayt. So without a shadow of doubt, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, one of the greatest women of all time, wa Fatima tu Sayyida tu Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha is the leader of the women in Jannah, authentic hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif. So what mahar did Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu give her? What mahar did Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam grant the Azwaj-e Mutahharat? So in our terminology now in South Africa, just to give you round figures, so remember it will be approximately 12,000 rand. So those of you beyond the borders of South Africa, you are in UK or in Pakistan or wherever else, Africa and so forth, $900. So you give $900 in cash, or you give it in kind, in jewelry or clothing, and you make the intention of Mahr-e Fatimi, so that is very, very good. But remember that it is not compulsory. So the Hanafis say the minimum mahar is 240 rand. So meaning that you give, so 240 rand nowadays will be about $20 plus minus, right? So you must remember that. And according to the Malikis and them, it is 80 rand. And according to this $5. and $6, for example. And then you come to the distinct Shafi'is, Hanbalis, they will say that it is no minimum mahar. So the sunnat mahar, so minimum mahar I gave you, Hanafis $240, so $20. And according to the Malikis, $6-$7. And remember, according to Shafi'is and Hanbalis, no minimum mahar. Whatever you agree on is fine. Second one will be sunnat $12,000, so $900, US dollars we're speaking about. And you want to go beyond that, so that is permissible as well. But it should not be ridiculous figures, 1 million and 1 million does and one. So that, remember, is considered as undesirable. La tughalu fil muhur. Don't make ghulu in your mahar, because then people's daughters won't get married. Everybody has to pay 1 million. Where the people will get the money and so forth. So although it's permissible, but it's not encouraged. So that is how you understand the three different stages. And you, the sister, daughter getting married, it is what you say. Because you are going to make the sacrifice, you will be deflowered, you will lose your virginity, and you will be making all the sacrifice. So this is a source of security for you. So if you ask me, like now, we married many years ago, so how much we paid? 41 rand I paid. So you ask other people, they know, before us, so they got married in the 50s, 60s and all that, so they paid 25 rand, 50 cent. So that was the standard in South Africa, especially among Indians and that, 25 rand, 50 cents. So that is how you will see. But money had a lot of value also that time. Nowadays, you know, money got no value really. So therefore, you should understand the minimum, the sunnat amount, and more than that, what does Islam say?
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that comes through, Salaamu Alaikum, Mufti Saab. At what age is a girl recommended to get married?
Best is always we look at Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's beloved daughter, the most beloved, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. It is the second year after the Hijrah. It is the month of Ramadan. How old was Sayyida Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha when she married Sayyidina Ali radiallahu an? 15 years and 5 months. If you want the reference, go open Bulughul Maram and wonderful Hadith Kitab by Ibn Hajar Asqalani on the Ta'liq, on the footnotes of it, you will find it there. So today, if your daughter is 15, 16, must you get her married? I will tell you, is she prepared for marriage? Because today, many of the daughters, when they're 15, 16, 17, they're still very, very immature mentally. They're nadan. The husband will just make his eyes big. He will shout her, her huzu will break, and then she will cry, and then she will tell her parents. Sometimes parents also don't have common sense. Common sense is no more common. So you say, no, 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 me, I want to break this marriage. So you as parents must see, and that is your daughter mature physically? Is she mentally mature? Is she ready for all these responsibilities and so forth? Not that you just get her married and then there's always some conflict, tension and big problems there. So that will give you enough gray hair then. So that is our advice. A good age nowadays for boys, 19, 20, 21, 22. For girls, 18, 19. So get them. So that time they are mentally and physically matured. So they're not so naive. In our languages we say, nadan. They're still wet behind the ears. Any small thing, they just will phone, send message, pick me up, pick me up. And parents, just out of the love for the children, they just listen to them. They don't even listen to the other side of the story. How many incidents we know like that? So our aim must always be to make the home and not to break the home.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that comes through, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. If a girl is doing a second nikah, is it obligatory for her parents to do a walima again because she wants it simple?
Remember that walima got nothing to do with the girl. Walima is to do with the boy. So when the boy and girl, whether it's your first nikah, second nikah, third nikah, you got married twice, thrice, whatever. So you got married to the different people. One husband divorced you, second husband passed away, and now it's your second marriage, third marriage, whatever the case is. So you don't have to worry about walima. The walima must be from the boy's side. So today you got married. So tomorrow is the walima. Husband, wife spend the night together. And it's not necessary the husband must consummate the marriage and so forth. As long as they spend the night, it's fine. But today's world, you know, people are a rat race. People come from far and so forth. And then they have to fly back, travel back and so forth. So sometimes people want the nikah and walima to be on the same day. So how will you do that and accomplish that? So you take today, you say after Zohar, because Wednesday is after Zohar, it's time for Sa'i, Mustajaba, Duas are accepted. So we perform the nikah. And then after Asr or after Maghrib is the walima. So that's fine. But the husband and wife, now after nikah, they should go into privacy. You understand? You just tell them to go in a room or wherever. You don't have to announce it now. So they spend their 15, 20 minutes, half an hour together. Husband kissing his wife, wife kissing husband, they meeting and so forth. They don't have to be conjugal relationship and intimate in that sense. And thereafter, that now there was khalwa. We call it khalwa. They went into privacy, and subsequent to that, you have walima on the same day. So that also will be permissible. So you don't have to dictate the terms and say anything. That will come from them. Yes, if they want to have a big, big walima, and 90% of the time is riya and wasum'ah, just to impress the eyes of people and the ears of people, then you as the wife should tell them, or the wife-to-be, that see, this all is unnecessary, because now we should keep it simple. Therefore, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith, and remember, you will find in Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad, Sharrul Walima. The worst walima is that walima, tud'a ilayha al-aghniya, that the rich people, the who's who in the zoo were called, remember that. But remember the poor people, watutrakul fuqara, the poor, poor people, no one was invited, because they felt if this person come, this Maulana come, he don't believe we belong to the higher strata of society, and it will be a shame and disgrace for us. So Allah forbid, and this is what happens many times today, if you invite me, we won't even come. 90%, we don't go to all this. We know the haram activities. So you must remember in a case like this, that is the worst walima. So everything in Islam should be done in moderation. We don't make hulu. Don't go to such an extreme where you're going to spend millions, and don't be so stingy that you just want to spend 20 rand, 50 rand. So if you got the means, mashallah, but everything done in moderation.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The time now 29 minutes past 12 p.m. Central African time. We're going to go for a break, inshallah, and straight after that continue. So, dear listeners, continue to send us your messages on 0847863132. If you're messaging us from the international borders, +27847863132.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
28 minutes to 1 p.m. Central African time. You tune in to Marcus Sahaba Online, a special program, The Bliss of Marriage, continuing part 2 of part 2. And inshallah, we are taking your questions, 0847863132. And answering the questions, continuing, is Mufti A.K. Hussein. Let's welcome Mufti Saab back. Mufti Saab, welcome back. Assalamu alaikum. And the question waiting for us goes as follows. Assalamu alaikum. My wife refuses to perform her daily salah. She says it's between her and her creator. Will I be answerable for her not performing salah?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Let's make our 2-3 announcements once again. Inshallah, tonight after Maghrib, we should be scanning the sky. If the new moon and crescent is sighted, that will usher in the month of Zulqa'dah, and read the Masnoon Sunnah Dua, Allahu Akbar, Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin. So the hadith is mentioned in Abu Dawood, Ya Allah, make this new lunar month a month of khair and goodness, wa rushdin and righteousness. Then number 2 will be that, remember, this week, tomorrow night, we will be in Sakunda, inshallah, after Isha for the program at the Musalla, and on Friday, inshallah, in Trikhat after Fajr, and inshallah, at the Jummah also there. Tonight will be between 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock. Dr. Yusuf Wahid, Medical File. And Dr. Yusuf Wahid is the host. And his special guest is Dr. A.K. Peer. He is a specialist microbiologist. And they are discussing all about this medication, antibiotics, it's good, it's bad, whatever. So wonderful program, inshallah, lined up for you tonight between 8 and 9, inshallah. So listen to that also. And the Hajj program of ours, inshallah, next week. Next week, Friday, also, I will be there at Masjid al-Furqan, inshallah, in Houghton. And Saturday, between 2 and 4, inshallah, will be the Hajj program. It will be live, inshallah, with Sirius FM, Radio Al-Ansar, and the Salam Media as well, inshallah. And Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. So may Almighty Allah, Jalla wa'ala, accept it and make it a means of hidayat, inshallah. So what was the question again, Brother Yusuf Ali, that we asked?
Mufti Sahib, the question goes as follows. My wife refuses to perform her daily salah. She says it's between her and her creator. Will I be answerable for her not performing her salah?
Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala teaches us in Surah 66 verse 6. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. That you, people of Iman, save yourself and your family, your wives, your children, your husbands from the fire. Everybody is included. Study what Quran Kareem teaches us. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded by Almighty Allah. وَأَمُرْ أَهَلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. You, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you must command your family members to perform the salat. And wastabir alayha, you remain constant, meaning you will be the noble example for them, for humanity and posterity. So this is Surah Taha, chapter number 20, verse number 132. Third one, Bukhari Sharif Hadith, Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'oolun an ra'iyya. Each one of you is a shepherd and you will be questioned regarding your flock. Yes, you will be questioned and you tell your wife, if she does not want to read the five daily salat, then in Surah Muzammil it is mentioned, when people are asked why you landed up in Jahannam, first thing they will say, Lam nakum minal muswallin. So therefore, you no more going to give her any perks, anything that is, you know, spending money, anything. So you cut all that till she starts reading salat. And if she's still stubborn and arrogant and so forth, then it is a valid ground to give divorce also. We are not encouraging the talaq and divorce. I'm just explaining to you a masla. That remember, if the wife is not prepared to read salat and so forth, so how come you never checked all this before you got married to her? So therefore, I always tell you, see that how your future spouse will be, her belief structure, her character, her commitment to Islam and so forth. But nevertheless, start ta'aleem in your house and in that way encourage her. But she's stubborn, you cut all the perks for her and tell her you are very, very upset with her.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that comes through. Assalamu alaikum. I got married with my girlfriend sometimes back, so we do not commit zina. But now since we have to face our parents, we don't want to break their heart by telling them what we did without their consent. Can we redo nikah for them in this case?
Remember the way it seems that you married your girlfriend in private. Secret nikah. So that type of nikah is not even permissible and acceptable, as I explained just now. So you must get married again and remember that whatever unda danda upside down things you did, so you must make sincere tawbah and repent as well. And just have a small nikah and get married and so forth, so that you know that you are doing things properly. So yes, you'll need to separate now. Because that nikah, that hanky-panky business nikah, secret nikah is not valid, and get married now immediately in this week or so, and you'll know then you're doing things the halal way. And everything that went on so far, ask Almighty Allah Jalla Wala for forgiveness.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next message that comes through, Assalamu Alaikum, Mufti Saab. I'm divorced and agreed to a nikah as a second wife. But the men wanted a secret nikah besides me telling my children, because they are all married and there was a molana and one male witness. The Mulana said, I can represent myself and all the information was taken and the nikah was performed. But the so-called husband agreed to the nikah when he was asked. And the Mulana read out the words that I mentioned. When I hear the nikah being performed over the receiver, the so-called husband didn't repeat after the Mulana. The nikah hasn't been consummated because I am in doubt. So the man was agreeing to marry, didn't repeat the Mulana. Is this nikah valid? Mehr amount was stipulated by me, but I haven't taken the mehr until I'm more clear on this nikah that was performed.
Remember, sister, that if that person did not mention the words nakahtua, kabiltua, so it means then he didn't accept you in a marriage, if that is really what happened. Anyway, all said and done, you're making a big, big mistake. He wants to use you as a spare wheel. So consider this as a blessing in disguise and tell him the nikah is not valid and it seems to be one witness only. Maybe the Maulana is there that he'll become the second witness. I'm not sure what you mean by that. But nevertheless, so the nikah is not valid. You don't ever entertain him again. And if he tries to contact you by telephone or by WhatsApp or SMS, just cut the call and Allah Ta'ala saves you. Remember that. All these so-called husbands who want to take second wife, third wife, fourth wife, but they tell you, no, keep it secret and so forth. Remember, they are not going to do justice with you. Quran Kareem states, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدَةً. That Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse 3. That if you fear, O husbands, you cannot do justice, only have one wife. And now already telling her it must be secret, nobody must know, and so forth. So he wants to use you as a spare wheel. He wants to use you as a street lady, hit and run business. So just forget all this. Your specific question and the response to that, that nikah is null and void and is not valid. So just forget him. And good thing that you did not sleep together and all these type of things. So that nikah is not valid.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question comes through. Salams, how will we know who is our life partner?
You will know. Islam taught you that you make istikhara. Islam taught you make mashura. See, from mashura and consultation, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam was, is, will always be the most beloved, the most precious to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala in the entire universe in creation. He, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to receive wahi revelation. Despite all that, Almighty Allah said, وَشَاوِرُهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. You must make mashura with them, the senior sahaba, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhum and others as well. So it shows that nubuwa, wahi, is only for anbiya and messengers alayhimu salam. So after the demise of Nabi alayhi salam, what will happen? So the sunnat of mashura, mushawara, shura, call it whatever you want. So that is, if you study philology, if you study the history of these words, it means istikhrajul asal. If you know these people who keep bees, and then they take out the best from the honeycomb. So that is the actual literal meaning of it. So when you have 3, 5, 10, 20 people in that meeting and consultation, so you take the best of opinions and so forth. So that is how you reach a decision. So I'm just explaining to you the word. So we have mashura. Second one, we have istikhara. Now you're asking Allah Jalla Wala directly to guide you. So you read 2 rakat salat, kul yal kafirun, kul Allah after surah Fatiha in both rakats. And you read, Allahumma khirli khara khire. Allahumma khirli. Oh Allah, you select the best for me. Wakhtarli, and you choose for me. Whatever Allah puts in your heart, so remember that is your answer. The hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif. You don't have to sleep, you don't have to dream, nothing of all that. And in that way, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will bless you with a good spouse. And cry and beg Almighty Allah. Read 2 rakat salat today after Zohar. So you beg Almighty Allah and you read. So you make dua to Allah. Surah 25, verse 74. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. Ya Allah, grant us our spouses and children that are the coolness of the eyes. Then the selection of the spouse. The problem is our priorities are upside down. We just look at the jamal, the beauty. We look at the mal, how rich they are. We look at hasabiha, that which strata of society, how famous this family is. So all the wrong criteria we use, all that are secondary. Use the main one. That is deen, ya. Does that husband, does that wife to be belong to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah? Or are they Shias, Qadianis, Afghanis, not Afghanis, Aga Khanis? So all that. So remember, they're out of the fold of Islam. So these are not Muslims. They can have a Muslim name, but they're not Muslims. So you need to be clear on these issues. How committed are they to Deenul Islam? How is their character? What is their earning in case of a man? And where do they perform salat and so forth? So all these matters need to be probed and investigated. Thereafter, you give your decision. So that is how, inshallah, husband-wife relationship, when you click with one another, then it's a long, long honeymoon. And remember, the love increases. The mercy of Almighty Allah envelopes them. And when they don't click, then it is Jahannam on this earth, is already hell on this earth. You know, we get so many problems from people, and they send us email and WhatsApp and what have you. Sometimes the husband to blame, sometimes the wife to blame, sometimes both parties to blame. So remember that all this is a test and trial, and most of the time, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُّصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. When calamities befall you, is because of your own deeds and your own actions.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that comes through, Assalamu Alaikum, Mufti Saab. Can an orphan woman make her friend's husband her wali for her nikah if the family is not around?
Remember that an orphan, that's what the question was, orphan. Remember, our people don't understand the definition of an orphan, a yatim. To be a yatim, there are two conditions. Number one is that boy or girl, that they lost their father. Man mata abu. The mother can be alive. Alam yajidka yatiman fa'awa. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, honorable mother was alive. So Almighty Allah says, did Allah not find you a yatim? Fa'awa, and gave you shelter? So it shows that the mother can be alive. But the father passes away, so then the child, son, daughter will be considered yatim. But the second condition, the hadith is mentioned in Sahih Muslim, La yutma ba'da ihtilam. Once the child, boy or girl, attains the age of puberty and maturity, then they no more yatim. So this lady, she's 18, 20 years old and so forth. So she can't go tell somebody, her friend's husband, you must be my wali and all that. So all that is unacceptable, not permissible. And she's not yatim. So yatim is only whilst you are a minor. Once you become a major, major means that now you are a one that is baligh and mature. You attain maturity, puberty. Now you are not a yatim anymore in Islam also. So what you must do, your family members, your father, your grandfather, your brother, so your father's brother, your uncle, so they are the people you have to take permission from, not your friend's husband. He got nothing to do with you, and you got nothing to do with him.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question comes through. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. My mother-in-law favors one child over the other depending on the benefits she gets. Please comment.
That is why in Arabic they say, it's not a hadith, it's just a proverb, Al-insanu abdul ihsan. Al-insan abdul ihsan. Human being becomes a slave of people who do him favors. So now here the mother-in-law is looking, which daughter-in-law will give me more? More pots, more pans, more recipes, more this, more money and all that. Then she favors them. Is that right? No, it's not right. Remember, mother-in-law, Quran, the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ Fear Almighty Allah Jalla wala, وَعَدِلُوا بَيْنَ أَوْلَادِكُمْ. So you must exercise justice amongst your children. So these are your sons' wives. So now you brought them in the family. You are the mother. You supposed to be the rallying point. Everybody is supposed to come to you because they know you are treating them with love. You are treating them with respect. You are doing justice. But now deliberately, because of material benefit, now you favor one over the other. So that is not permissible. That is how you're going to destroy the whole family. So think about it, mother. You might be thinking that now you are getting very good benefit, but how long will it last? It won't last long, because you yourself are destroying it. So therefore, you need to show justice to all parties. And whether they are giving you presents or not, you still need to be just with them.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that comes through, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. Is the life partner predetermined before our birth?
Remember, everything is predetermined. We believe in destiny. Wal qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah. Good, bad, happy, sad, everything comes from Allah. But we do not know. So therefore, we beg Almighty Allah for goodness. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. They ask Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, give the tafsir of this. So look at his tafsir. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. Oh Allah, grant me a pious wife. Who pious wife? Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. Wa fil akhirati hasana. Ya Allah, grant me a hura'een in the akhirat, in Jannah. Wa qina adhaban nar. Ya Allah, save me from the punishment of fire. Grant me straight direct entry into Jannah. So all these different tafsirs can be made. So we do not know what is in our destiny, but what we do know, ad-du'a'u yaruddul qadr. If we cry, we beg, we beseech Almighty Allah, sometimes or occasionally, it will even change taqdeer and destiny. So Allah Ta'ala left that there open to human being. How devoted, dedicated we are to beg Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. So therefore, that you, the youth especially, sons and daughters, so ask Almighty Allah to give you a good spouse, and if the boy making dua, so a beautiful, pious wife, and the wife, you must remember, she's making dua, so Ya Allah, give me a good, pious husband. So in that way there, Allah se mangna hai, Allah se manwana hai. So beg Almighty Allah, and beg Almighty Allah to make decisions in our favor.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that comes through. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. My husband wants to go for Hajj without me. This is not fair. He has the money to take me. Please help me convince him.
Yes, you must. He must take you. So remember, you can't be so stingy, oh husband. So take your darling, sweetheart, wife as well. And Allah Ta'ala will reward you. See, I give you 3-4 important things there, and then we'll conclude, inshallah, because we still have to give azan for Zohar, and you know that read Zohar Salat, and then I got tafsir also, and so forth. Anyway, let me explain to you about the Hajj. And I told you that next week, Friday, Saturday, the 12th, 13th of July, inshallah, we will be at Masjid al-Furqan, and that is in Houghton, inshallah. Friday for the Jummah lecture, and Saturday the 13th, between 2 and 4 in the afternoon, inshallah. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala numai performed 60 Hajj. Some ulama even wrote 65 Hajj. Nevertheless, whether it's 60, 65. Imam Abu Hanifa Rahimullah performed 55 Hajj. Piran-e-Pir Hazrat Sayyidina Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahimullah, he performed 50 Hajj. When you ask people like Imam Hanifa, these were people who were genius. How come you went so many times? You know Hajj is compulsory once. He said, that I know. Then why you go so many times? He said, Quran Kareem teaches us, liyashhadu manafi'a lahum. They will witness and observe and see the nafa, the benefit, the profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, the profit and gain that will accrue to them and come to them in this world, never mind hereafter. So imagine Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tabi'u bayn al-hajj wal-umrah. You perform Hajj, go make Umrah after that. You made Umrah, go for Hajj after that. Why? Because this journey of Umrah and Hajj فَإِنَّهُمَا يَنْفِيَانِ الْفَقْرَ وَالْإِثْمِ, that it will remove and repel the poverty, and it will remove the vices and the sins as well. So the hadith is mentioned, remember, in Tirmidhi Sharif, and it is mentioned in Mishkat Sharif, various compilations. So when a person goes for Umrah, he goes for Hajj, although you think he's spending thousands, but Allah will make such arrangements that you will be compensated and repaid here in this world already, because Allah says, لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ. Next one, you husband, now we are answering this question. You say you want to go, but your wife, you're leaving her, but you got the money. So why you don't take your wife? Allah has given you guarantee that you will, that money you spend, you will receive it again. So you must remember, and more as well. So you ask people who perform Hajj with sincerity, how many doors Almighty Allah Jalla Wala open for them? So that will be my advice, that all of you, the husbands, you should take your wife's worth and don't worry about the money. All that Almighty Allah will return to you in different ways and different means, inshallah. Gee, one more question, Brother Yusuf Ali, inshallah.
Mufti Saab, the final question for the program. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. How do I deal with a husband who prays but also lies?
You must remember, his praying is just going through the motions, up, down, kiss the ground, back to town. So if that person was really reading Salat, why is Salat called Salat? A sila tu bayn al abdi wa rabbi, it is the link, the connection between the slave and Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. And the impact and the effect of Salat, read with devotion, concentration, Inna Salat Tanaha Anil Fahshai Wal Munkar, verily the Salat, it prevents you from all obscenities. Imagine today the porn industry, how it's flourishing in Muslim homes. So what things people see on the TV, and you see that in functions, now people, boy and girl, are meeting. So there, how much our vices go on as well. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is teaching us that if we want, you must remember, good wife and all this, a good husband, so the dua must be there and all these type of things. Then inshallah, things will be positive. But you reading Salat and you lying and all that, it means that the Salat we are reading has so much deficiency. Simple example I give you. You know we are in winter here in South Africa. You go Makkah, Medina, they are summer. One person just returned from Umrah yesterday, day before yesterday, I asked him, well, how's the weather? He said, 50 degrees. Now you are in Makkah, Medina, you're traveling, and they put the air condition on. And now you leave the window open. So will the air condition be effective? No, because you left the window open. So me and you, we read Salat, but we just go rush through it. And our mind is wandering, thinking of everything else besides Almighty Allah. So the desired results will not come, because you left that window open. So yeah, the window of that Salat was open. People are lying, but they're reading Salat. People are giving propaganda, but they're reading Salat. So we need to be honest. Yeah, we have cold winter, and now the heater is on. So we should try and ensure that the heater remains on, but the doors must be closed. Everything must be closed. Otherwise, you won't get the desired results. So similarly, when we perform Salat, Quran Kareem states, Inna Salat Tanha Anil Fahshai Wal Munkar, that Salat prohibits you from vices and evil and all forms of injustice. So that will become a means of us to speak the truth and not speaking lies. May Almighty Allah give us tawfiq. Jazakallah khairan to you, Brother Yusuf Ali. Barakallah feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mufti A.K. Hussein. And that was our Bliss of Marriage program for today, special Bliss of Marriage program. And we say Jazakallah khair to all the listeners for sending in their questions, and we all learn together, inshallah. But right now, it's time for us to start wrapping up the program, and we'll be seeing you, inshallah, on the Tafsir show with Mufti A.K. Hussein. But for now, from the team here, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.